like this evening to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and read verses 21 through verse 24. Not really going to look at these verses in the detail, it's just kind of a jumping off point, but in Philippians 1, again reading with verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, that is, living for Christ. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not or know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There's no doubt about that. That's always so. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul, in these verses, expresses his purpose of living, expresses his view of death. To die is gain. To die is to be with Christ, which is far better. But he also expresses his desire to leave this life. He says there is a part of him that desires to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And he says, I'm in a strait between these two. That is, between the desire to depart and duty to Christ here upon earth. If you read these verses, you notice that his desire to stay was not pleasure. His desire to stay was the work of the Lord. That's why he wanted to stay, was to work for the Lord. But then there was that other part that desired to depart. We're going to read several verses tonight, more than we usually do. But notice in the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 12. Reading down through verse 5 of the 5th chapter. But in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, or though our outward man is dying, speaking of our physical bodies, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and all affliction is for a moment for the child of God, worketh for us. And according to Romans 8:28, all affliction works for us, we that are saved. So this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, outward circumstances, but at the things which are not seen. The only way you can do that is by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, speaking of our physical bodies, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, that is, in this physical body, in this earthly tabernacle, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring. He's again expressing his desire to be in heaven. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, physical bodies, do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, that is, we're not just wishing for death, but clothed upon. So he's saying, I'm not just desiring death, I am desiring heaven, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God that creates a desire in the heart of every child of God to be in heaven, to be where the Lord is. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, along those lines, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So Paul had a longing. He had a desire to be in heaven. And it is the Holy Spirit in our hearts that creates this thirst, that creates this desire, that creates this longing. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that binds us to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is there. And the Spirit of God binds us to Him. So we, by the indwelling Spirit, are bound to love heaven. We are bound to think about heaven. We are ravished by heaven. The Spirit of God in us implants a desire for heaven. That being said, if there be no heavenly longings, then there must not be the Holy Spirit. If there be no heavenly Spirit, if there be no yearnings for heaven, then is the Holy Spirit really in us? Again, I believe if the Spirit of God is in us, He creates a desire for heaven. Why is it lost folks, they will spend every dime they have and they will spend what they don't have to buy an extra day in their minds? Now, no one can buy an extra day. But they will spend everything, they will go through whatever they have to go through just to stay upon this earth a little longer in their mind. But the child of God has something because of the Spirit of God that the unsaved do not have. They have a yearning, a longing for heaven. Now, this isn't my message, but our society has no longer knows what it is to let people die a natural death. We've lost that in our society. We'll hook them up to anything. But for the child of God, somewhere within the heart of every child of God, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, There's that desire. There's that longing. There's that thirsting for heaven. The very subject of heaven thrills the soul of a child of God. And what this does is it looses our moorings to this earth. We're not attached to this earth. The Spirit of God dwells in us. I mean, if you're so attached to this earth that you don't want to go home to be with the Lord, something's wrong. The only reason Paul wanted to stay was to work for God. It had nothing to do with earthly pleasures. And because he saw that it was for the good of the Philippian church. But other than that, he said, I desire to depart. So tonight I want to just take a little while. Again, we're going to look at a lot of verses. We want to speak on the subject of heaven. We want to think of three things. First of all, heaven is a place. It is a place. Secondly, heaven is a state. And then thirdly, heaven is home. Heaven is home. But first of all, heaven is a place. You say, well, that's obvious. Yes, it is. But I'm afraid many forget that. I'm afraid many children of God forget it. When we talk about heaven, heaven is not merely air. It's a place. It's a real place. Heaven is real. It's not merely a state. It's not merely a state of mind. Heaven is a reality. What that means is that heaven has a location. It's located somewhere. Heaven. All those that are in heaven have a location. So heaven is a place. The Bible presents heaven as a place. Notice in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, notice, which is in heaven. That tells me that heaven is a place, which is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. So, God the Father is in heaven. That means that heaven is a place. That means that heaven has a locality. We also read from the Scriptures that Jesus came from heaven. Notice in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 12 and verse 13. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Again, heaven is a place. And then notice what it says. Even the Son of Man, that is, the Son of Man came down from heaven, which is in heaven. So the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came from heaven. And Jesus Christ, just like God the Father, is in heaven. Telling us that heaven is a place. Heaven has a locality. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus is doing the speaking. He says, "For I came down from heaven." That means, again, heaven's a place. It's not just air. It means that heaven is real. It means that heaven has a definite locality. I came down from heaven. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man, speaking of Adam, is of the earth, earthly. The second man, which is Christ, is the Lord from heaven. So heaven is not just an imaginary place. Heaven is a real place. God the Father is there. Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ came from heaven. So heaven has a locality. We're also told that Jesus ascended up into heaven. It's not just talking about the heavens, the atmosphere. It's talking about a definite place, a definite locality. Notice in Acts chapter 1, in verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" That is, into the atmosphere. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven." He's taken into heaven. And that's why we read that Jesus is in heaven. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus Christ is our high priest. And in verse 14, we read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens." He's passed into the heavens. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a locality. Now, this is obvious, of course, but I'm afraid many times we seem to lose sight of the fact that heaven is a real place. That heaven is a definite locality. It's not just a good thought that comes over our minds that our loved ones are in heaven. Heaven is a real, literal place with a definite locality. We see that Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55 looked into heaven. And what did he see? He saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. So again, he looked into a literal place. He looked into a definite locality. Then notice in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Begin reading with verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I go to prepare a place. A definite place. A definite locality. So heaven is not only a place, but heaven is a God-prepared place. When you prepare something, you prepare for something specific. Heaven is a God-prepared place for a specific purpose. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," which is in that prepared place, heaven, "there ye may be also." that is, with Christ. Peter spoke of heaven as a prepared place. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Now, where is this inheritance? It's reserved in heaven. It is reserved in heaven. My inheritance is real. And my inheritance is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. John spoke of heaven as a place. In Revelation 21, notice in Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. That means heaven is a place. Came out of heaven. It means that heaven has a definite locality. So all through the Bible, we see that heaven is spoken of as a place, which makes it real. As a locality, which makes it real. Now, most unsaved people, when they talk about heaven, it's just a nice place in their minds. But I wonder how many really stop and consider that heaven is a real place, just like hell is a real place and has a definite locality. Now, there are many representations of heaven in the Word of God. And each one of these representations speak of the fact, again, that heaven is a place. We've already seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, if there's a lot of things that can happen to these physical bodies. They can be destroyed by fire. They can be destroyed by innumerable things. But Paul says we know that if this earthly house or earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Now he's talking about heaven. Now a building has to have a place. A building has to have a location. And he's talking about heaven. We have a building of God, a house. A house has to have a place. A house has to have a locality. Eternal in the heavens. So heaven is a building. Heaven is a house. Heaven is called a country. In Hebrews 11, in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. A country has to have a location. A country has to have a definite place. Heaven is a country. Heaven is also called a city. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, a heavenly city. And then notice in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. For here, that is on earth, We have no continuing city. Nothing on this earth is continuing. Nothing on this earth is forever. Here we have no continuing city. Man has been looking for one since Adam, but there is none on this earth. But we seek one that is a continuing city to come. Again, a city must have a location. Again, we see it is the desire of the child of God. We seek a heavenly city to come. So a country and a city must have a place. Matthew 25 and verse 34, heaven is referred to as a kingdom. A kingdom must have a location. A kingdom must have a place. And again, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. That is a specific place for you. Heaven also has a place as in contrast to the earth. Now, no one would deny that the earth is real. The earth has a place. The earth has a very definite location. And heaven oftentimes is put side by side with the earth, in contrast with the earth. Now, the earth has a place, is unstable. Everything in this earth is unstable. We don't always act like that, but everything in this earth is unstable. Everything in this earth is insecure. Everything in this earth is passing away. It's fleeting. Heaven is just the opposite. Heaven is stable. It'll be there when you need it. It'll be there. It's stable. Heaven is secure. Heaven, unlike earth, is eternal. Again, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. There is a continuing city. There is a place that lasts forever. But it's not on this earth. It's in heaven. Earth is real. Heaven is real. Earth is unsafe. It's an unsafe place. Notice in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So upon this earth, there are moths. Moths are here on earth. And those moths will eat up. Rust is here on earth. That is, things on earth are subject to decay. And we see also that thieves are here upon this earth. In other words, earth is an unsafe place. You can lose your treasure on earth. That's why he's telling us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why? Because the moths can eat them. The rust can cause them to decay. Or thieves can break through and steal. In other words, again, earth is a very unsafe place. But then notice in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, is earth real? Yes. Is heaven real? Yes. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Heaven is real, and there are no moths in heaven. There is no rust in heaven. There are no thieves that break into heaven and steal. Earth is a real place. Earth is an unsafe place. Heaven is a real place, but heaven is a safe place. There's no place safer than heaven. Heaven is a safe place. So, in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's the Lord telling us? He's saying that He wants our hearts upon the place of heaven. Not just an imaginary place, but He wants our hearts set upon that real place called heaven. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Spirit of God sets our hearts upon that place. You have to wonder if one who professes to be a child of God has no thoughts of heaven until they're about to die. You have to wonder, do they know the Lord? Because the Spirit of God creates a thirst. The Spirit of God creates a desire for heaven. If for no other reason, because who's there? And I'm not talking about our relatives. I'm talking about God the Father, Jesus Christ. God's there. And therefore, there's a longing to be in heaven. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 20 and 21. Which He wrought in Christ, that is His mighty power, when He raised Him from the dead and set him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. Heaven is a place. And it is a place far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Heaven is a place that is far, far above this earth. So if the Spirit of God creates within us a desire, a longing, and a thirst for heaven, that means that our longing and our desire and our thirst is far, far above this earth. So what does that say about those who never get beyond earth? I mean, they never get beyond earth in their thinking. They never get beyond earth in their desires. Everything they have, everything they want, everything they long for is on this earth. The Spirit of God creates in us a desire for heaven. And heaven is far, far above this earth. Heaven is a place. And heaven is a separated place. Separated from all the world. Separated from all that is worldly. Heaven. Heaven is a place of rarest beauty. There is nothing upon earth. And God has created for us a beautiful earth. But there is nothing on this earth that even comes close to the beauty of heaven. Nothing. Heaven is pure. Heaven is a place of purity. Book of Revelation tells us there's nothing. There's nothing that defiles heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit heaven. When Jesus Christ comes, we will immediately receive a glorified body. That means this flesh becomes something that it is not now. But it also means that all the blood that flows through this body is drained, is gone. Flesh and blood. You don't need blood in a glorified body. Why is that? Why can't flesh and blood inherit heaven? First of all, because it would defile it. Because these bodies are corruptible, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15. They're corruptible. Heaven's a place of purity. But also in these physical bodies, you and I could not enjoy the beauties of heaven. We couldn't take it. We couldn't take it in these physical bodies. We need a special body. Also, may I say that those who die and go to hell, they also receive a different body. A body that will not be destroyed by fire. But that's another subject. So heaven is a place. And it is a separated place. And our hearts are to be upon heaven. And heaven is a place of purity. The child of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in them, longs for purity. They long for purity. That's why they can't feel at home in this world. Because this world is impure. So heaven is a pure place. Secondly, heaven is a state. It's not merely a state. It is a state as well as a place. It is a state of enthronement. It is a state of elevation. It is a state of freedom. Heaven is a place and a state of emancipation. It is a place and a state where that which is old and worn out, which is everything in this world, and burdensome, is left behind. None of those things. There's nothing worn out in heaven. There's nothing that wears out in heaven. We read in Revelation 21 and verse 4, there's several things that are not present in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no clouds. There's no night. There's no weariness. There's no bitterness. There's no anguish. There are no graves in heaven. There are no cemeteries in heaven. There are no funeral homes in heaven. People never gather in heaven for a funeral. People never gather in heaven around a sick bed. Those things do not exist in heaven. Heaven is a place, but heaven is a state of emancipation from everything on this earth. We're set free in heaven. There are no sighs in heaven. There are no tears in heaven. There are no broken hearts in heaven. There are no deathbeds in heaven. There is no dying in heaven. Don't try to make heaven like earth. And listen to most songs today. I'm not talking about the songs in our hymn book, but listen to most gospel songs today. And they're trying to make heaven like earth. Oh, I wish you were here. There isn't anybody in heaven wishing you were there. Nobody. That sounds like disappointment to me. I wish you were here. No, they're as happy as can be. Oh, they're looking down upon us. That wouldn't be heaven. Wouldn't be heaven at all. It's a place separated from earth. It is a state. It is a place. It is a state separated from earth. Never, ever will there be a corpse in heaven. Never will there be a casket. Never will there be a hearse. Never. Heaven is a separated place. And it is not subject. It is not subject to the influences of this world. Your loved ones in heaven are not weeping for you. They're not feeling sorrow for you. That might make you feel good to think that way, but that's not heaven. People get comfort somehow out of thinking that my loved one's looking down upon me and they're crying. It's raining. That's my loved one crying. That might make you feel better, but that's not heaven. That's not heaven. Heaven is a place. And it is a place separated from this world. It is not only a place, it is a state. It is a state of perfect knowledge, where we will know as we are known. Heaven is a place and a state of perfect rest. It is a state, a place and a state of perfect happiness. It is a place and a state of purity. In this life, of course, you and I are surrounded by filth. We're surrounded by that which is defiling. We are surrounded by that which is vile, by that which is wicked, and that which is abominable to God, and that which is blasphemy to God, and that which is heresy. We're surrounded by it. But heaven is a special place, separated from all of this. And the Spirit of God puts in us a desire for that place that is above all the filth and all the defilement of this world. In this world, we're surrounded by those who know not God. We're surrounded by those who are at enmity with God and who are at rebellion with God. Everywhere we turn, there's adultery, there's fornication, there's immorality, there's uncleanness, there's idolatry, there's hatred, there's strife, there's lying, there's cheating, there's stealing, there's murders. But heaven is a place that is separate from all of this. But not only that, it is a state of absolute purity. And the Spirit of God puts in our heart desire for that place. Puts in our heart a desire for that which is pure. There are many today who are trying to defend that which is offensive to God. And if you were to leave it up to them, and if they could, they would pollute heaven. But thank God they can't. Heaven is a special place. It is a place and a state of fellowship with God. It is a place and a state of victory. And as Paul said in Philippians 1, it is a place and a state where everything is better. There's nothing that's not better. Don't ever say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here that's gone on to be with the Lord. Don't wish that. They're not missing anything. Oh, I wish they were here for your birthday. They're not missing anything. They're not missing a thing. Everything in heaven is better. And it's real. Because it's a place. It's a location. Lastly, heaven is home. For the child of God, this earth is not our home. And the further you progress spiritually, the more you realize this earth is not my home. The more you realize that you're a pilgrim just passing through, and you're a stranger upon this earth. You see, so many today are trying to fit in with the earth. We ought to want to fit into heaven. We're foreigners to this earth. And the very thought of heaven ought to draw us, draw our minds and our hearts to that place. Heaven ought to so fill our hearts that you can see it and hear it in our conversation. that you can see it in our character, in the very desire to be in heaven, puts us out of tune with this world. Why would any child of God want to be in tune with the world? It puts us out of harmony with the world. Puts us out of course with the world. The very atmosphere of the world is chilling for the one who's truly saved. And we become more and more desirous of heaven. Heaven is my home. The old saying, home is where the heart is. That's why the Lord told us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, heaven is home. Home kindles desire. And if heaven is my home, then that's where my desire should be. Home, like a magnet, draws us. There's always something that draws us home. You can go on a vacation, but there's always something that draws you back home. And how many times people will say, it's just good to be home. Heaven is home. And just like home is a real place with a definite location, so it is with heaven. Notice in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 5, we stopped reading at verse 5. I'd like to read verse 6 and verse 8. Therefore, in verse 6, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, that is, as long as we're living in these bodies, there is a sense in which we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body. Then notice what it says, and to be present. Now, in light of verse 6, the word present means home. And to be present, or to be home with the Lord. That's what makes heaven heaven. We're with the Lord. And that's what Jesus taught. Notice, and we'll close, in John chapter 14. Again, we've already read these verses. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, in verse 2. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Then notice what it says. To be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is, where I am, you can be right there with me. So heaven is not only to be realized as home when we get there, and certainly it will be. When we finally get to heaven, we will realize that we're home. But we need to view heaven as home right now. All along our spiritual journey, we need to remember, I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. Now, we may have to experience a lot of things on our way, but do not lose focus of where you're headed. I'm on my way home. And there is nothing bad about that. That's everything good. I'm on my way home. And as I get closer to home, and none of us know when we're going to arrive home, but you can do the math. And some of us don't have long. And if the Lord doesn't come, do the math. You're not going to live forever. You're getting closer and closer home. And the closer we get, the more we long to be home. So home, we're on our way, and it ought to cause us, it ought to draw us, it ought to bind our hearts to heaven. The work of the Holy Spirit in us unfastens our hearts from the earth. I hope many, and I know some have, as you mature spiritually, you get less and less and less connected to this earth all the time. Less and less connected to this world all the time. Because we're getting closer home. And we need to have our hearts fastened to heaven. And I believe the Spirit of God that indwells within us gives us that longing. So if all of our longings, all our desires are on earth, what's that say? Well, at the very best, it says you're not right with God. At the very best. Or it may say that you're not saved. That the Spirit of God does not dwell within you. And you see, we have a tendency to, things are going wrong, things are going bad. Oh, I wish I was in heaven. But we ought to always desire heaven. We get up in the morning and it's just a wonderful day. We feel great. We ought to long for heaven. We ought to long for heaven every single day of our lives. And we're getting closer. We're getting closer and closer every moment to being home. What a wonderful thought to be home. Brother Dwayne talked in his devotional this morning. What a wonderful gathering that will be. There will be nothing that can possibly offend you in heaven. And the Lord omnipotent reigneth in heaven. There are people that fight the Lord's reign in their life every step of the way. Who do you think is reigning in heaven? The Lord. He's in control. What a wonderful thing. I've been saved. I've been delivered from my sin. I've been delivered from the wrath to come. And I have an inheritance reserved. And it's reserved in my name in heaven. I can't wait. I got to. To get home. To go home. To be with the Lord. Are there things here that in our flesh that we hang on to? Of course there is. That's what Paul was talking about. But don't ever think once you're home you'll ever think about that again. You know, people say all the time, well, we'll know when we get to heaven. You won't even care. We'll know the answer to that question when we get to heaven. You won't care. It won't matter. We're on our way home. And all along the way, we have the responsibility to just be as faithful as we can be. And I believe as we get closer and closer and closer, that desire continues to grow. And it gets to the point where we can almost see. We can almost see.
What a wonderful thing. Brother Larry, you come and lead us.